Tonight's daf is daf tes. So we got to the bottom of Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara, we just had done the mission about Ein Bein Svarim Latfilim, the Mezuzos. So the Gemara says three lines up from the bottom, Svarim Nichtavim B'Chalashim, that the Svarim, the Sifrei Torah, are written in any language, as opposed to Tefillin Mezuzah are only allowed to be written in Hebrew. So the Gemara says, Raminhi, asks the Gemara, Mikra Shekasvu Targum. Let's say the Mikra was written in Targum. The Pasuk, you know, every Pasuk has Hebrew in it, but there's also a Targum, there's Aramaic translation. So let's say there's a Mikra that was written in a Targum, the Pasuk of Vayomer was written as Ve'emar, or whatever the Aramaic is. Where a Targum, there's a few words in the Torah that actually are Aramaic. The example is Yagar Sadusa by the end of Parsha Ve'etze, I think it is. So let's say you write that Targum, Shekasu Mikra, you write it in Hebrew, or Kasav Ivri, Ksav Ivri, you write in Hebrew language, Hebrew letters, which is not the Ashuris. So then, Einam Atames Yadayim. That's Amatames Yadayim. That doesn't qualify as Kisvei Kodesh. Ad Shichtevenu B'Ksav Ashuris, until it's written in the Ashuris letters, Al HaSefer, on the Klaf, Ubedio, with ink. So what's the question here? So how come this Braisa says you cannot write Sifrei Torah in other languages? Our Mishnah said it could be written in any language you want. Let's get you a chair. Yeah. You sure? We can put in chairs. Bring in. Just go ahead, Edger. Well, wait. We'll put on pause. I'll wait for you. It's amazing. So we're just discussing this theory where this Braisa implies that you cannot write a Sefer Torah in other languages. The Mishnah says that Sefer Torah may be written in any language. So Gemara says, last three words in Chesem Abayz, Rava, Amar Rava, last four words, Amar Rava, lo kasha, there is no contradiction. Kan begufan shalanu, kan begufan shalahen. What does that mean exactly? So it depends on, now we're talking about the ksav, the letter, the writing. Not the language, the difference between language and the letters being used. So our Mishnah is talking about gufan shalanu. If you write Ashuris, but you change the language, in other words, let's say I use Hebrew letters, but I write English. I write hello, I write hey, lamid vav. So that's actually permitted, as long as the letters are the Hebrew letters, even though I'm changing the language. That's allowed, that's what the Mishnah says, b'chol lashon is permitted. And Khan, the Braisa, is talking about gufan shalahen, where you're using English letters, you're using H and E and L, L, O. That's going to be possible because you change not only the language, but you also change the letters being used. So Amalei Abaye says, "B'mayo kimta lahi begufan shalahem." How could you establish that the Braisa is referring to using their languages, their, whatever languages are English letters, let's say, for example? Sifrei Torah. Regular Sifrei Torah. So the Mishnah says it could be written in any language, but the Gemara says it's only true if you're using the letters, Hebrew letters, as long as it's Ksav Ashuris, so then you could change the letters around where it's read as English words. So the Gemara says, "B'mayu kimtala hiba gufan shalahen." How could you establish that Bryce is referring to gufan shalahen, their ksav? My area mikra shikasu targum v'targum shikasu mikra. So why does a Bryce give an example where a Hebrew word is being written in Aramaic, Aramaic and Hebrew? Afilu mikra shikasu mikra. Even if Hebrew is still in the Hebrew language and targum shikasu targum, the concern is as long as the letters change. We don't care about the language. It's not the language that's the issue. It's the issue is the ksav. Sanami should be a problem. The Hakatani, it says in the Braisa, Ad Shichtevenu Ashuris ala Sefer Ubedio. All we care about is Ashuris. We don't care about the language. So that can't be the case. So the suggestion we made above, how to reconcile the contradiction, doesn't work out. So how do we reconcile the contradiction? Ela lo kasha, there is no contradiction. Ha Rabbanan, ha Rabban Shimon Gamliel. Our Mishnah was authored by the Rabbanan, who permitted Svarim to be written b'chol lashon, and then the Brayis was written by Rabban Shimon Gamliel, who permits only Yevanis outside of Lashon HaKodesh, Hebrew and Greek, and that's all. So the Brayis is referring to any other language, such as Aramaic, would be a problem. Gemara says, if that's the case, Rabban Shimon Gamliel is the author of this Braisa, Ha'ika Yevanis. The Braisa should have said, Ad Shekasav be Ashuris o be Yevanis, which it doesn't say. So that doesn't work out either. Ela lo kasha, there is no contradiction. We're making a third suggestion. Kan bisvarim, kan betilin mezuzos. Our Mishnah is referring to, this was what you're getting at, Ariel, that the Mishnah is talking about that Sefer Torah may be written b'chalashom. This Braisa is referring to tefillin mezuzah. Tefillin and mezuzah must be written in the Hebrew language. That's the context of the Braisa. So Gemara now wants to ask a very fundamental question. What's the reason? Tefillin u'mezuzos my time. Why do we have to have it written in Lashon Kodesh while Sefer Torah we could allow any language? So Gemara says, Mishum dechsevehu, it's written in the Pasuk in Shema, it says v'hayu. It's v'hayu adum ha'ela. V'hayu means v'haviyasan hu. It should be as it was. It was given in Hebrew. It should remain in Hebrew. That's how tefillin and mezuzos have to be. Right? Mezuzos have parashiyos of Shema in it. And tefillin have mezuzos in addition to Shema. They have a couple other parashiyos in them as well. They have to be hayu v'haviyasan hu, the way it was initially given. So asks the Gemara, my targum shekasu mikra ika. So what's the targum that's written in Hebrew? Bishma, I understand, but Torah. So if we're saying that's referring to mikra, targum shekasu mikra, so then if we're referring to sefer Torah, then we have examples. Ika yagar sadusa. There's Aramaic words in the Chumash that can be used in Hebrew. But elahacha, if you're going to say this Bryce is referring to tefillin and mezuzah, my targum ika, there is no Aramaic in the parashas of tefillin. There is no Aramaic in the parashas of mezuzah. Ela lokasha, this Bryce is not talking about tefillin and mezuzah. Kan b'megillah, kan b'sfarm. Our Mishnah is referring to Sifrei Torah, which may be written in B'chalashon, and this Bryce is referring to Megillah, which can only be written in Ashurus. So Megillah my time, and why does the Megillah's Esther have to be written dafka in Lashon Aksav Ashurus, Lashon Ashurus? The Chsivba, it's written in the Megillah, Kechsavam uchilshonam. You have to maintain the Megillah the way it was written initially and the language that was originally used. So that's Exer Sakasav in Megillah's Esther, dictating that you can't change the language of Megillah's Esther.
I thought it says that they send out the
Megillah.
What is
Kechsavam uchilshonam? Every language for every single Medina. But I guess this is referring to when they wrote it down, this is telling us it was written Kechsavam uchilshonam.
Wasn't that in Persian? Because right. It says that Harei it's already written in the annals of the. And she's like Kesuni Ladora. She's
right.
I don't know what that means.
It's a very good question. But this pasuk. Good question, Macha. It's a good question. Very good question. Okay, I don't know. Yeah, they ask it here.
He says. That the Braisa reflects the view of the Rabbanan who allow all languages, even for the Megillah. Since a foreign language, Megillah is valid for fulfilling the obligation.
But we're going not to get like that.
No, we're not.
We're saying has the Dafka be... Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm not sure. Okay, good question.
Are we talking about the Megillah, not the Sefer?
Yeah, this time with the Megillah now, yeah. Right, the Mishnah is talking about the Sefer Torah, which can be written in Bechol Lashon. You can write it in any language. The Megillah has to be written in Hebrew because it says, Kichsavim Chilshonim, which is meant to mean that in their language, in their writing, which was Hebrew. So just like it was written in Hebrew, Ledoros, for generations, it has to also be, the Megillah has to also be written in Hebrew as well. So Gemara says, so now that we've established that Bryce is referring to Megillah's Esther, so now we can ask the question, my targum shekasu mikra ika. So where do we find any Aramaic? Where do we find any targum in the Megillah? And the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. There are actually a couple places. Amar Papa v'nishma piskam hamelch. The word piskam means a letter, but that's actually, or matter means dvarim. Piskam is Aramaic. And Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak amar v'chol hanoshim yitnu yikar levalehem. The yikar is a Hebrew to mean honor, rather Aramaic, which means kavod. So these are two examples where we do in fact find Aramaic in Megillas Esther. So Rashi comes along and says, he gives a different answer. Rashi amar, kitani hahi, that braisa that requires it being written Ashuris, is Bashar Svarim, referring to Nevim and Ksuvim, the Rebbe Yehuda. He's referring to Rebbe Yehuda, who, although Rebbe Shmuel Gamliel allowed the Yevanis that... Yevanis, Rabbi Yehuda says, when it comes to other Svarim, Nach, even Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel would say, you can't use Yevanis. Yevanis only works for the Sefer Torah. So again, we initially had said, the initial suggestion was, the Mishnah's Tanakama, who allows all languages, Bryce was Sefer Torah as well, Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel. Asks the Gemara, but wait a second, he allows Yevanis as well. Gemara says, no, this is referring to not Sefer Torah, it's referring to Nevim and Ksuvim, Nach. And there, even Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel doesn't allow Yevanis. Yevanis was only allowed in Sifrei Torah, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. He didn't allow it for Nevi'im Ksuvim. So Gemara says, Dechsiv, it says, rather, Desani, it says, Tefillin u'mezuzos, e'nichtavin el Ashuris, Rabboseinu hitiru Yevanis. So Tefillin u'mezuzos is only permitted in Hebrew, and Rabboseinu is referring to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. He permitted it also in Yevanis. So Gemara says... V'haksiv v'hayu. How does that make sense? Doesn't it say v'hayu by tefillin and mezuzah? You can't write it in Yevanis. So Gemara says, no, ela ema, what do you mean to svarm nichtavim mechalashon, Rabbi Seinu hitiru Yevanis? That every sefer, not referring to tefillin and mezuzahs, svarm. When it comes to Sifrei Torah, the Tanakhama holds Sifrei Torah can be written in any language, and Rabbi Meshulam Gamliel permits only in Yevanis. So the Gemara says, wait a second, this still isn't clear yet. Hitiru mechlal de Tanakhama aser. So it sounds like Rashbag permits Yevanis. That implies that Tanakhama asks it. But that doesn't make sense because Tanakhama allows every language for Sefarim. So Ella Ema, the way the price are really is meant to be understood is Rabboseinu lo hitiru sheyichtavu ela Yevanis. Meaning Tanakhama permits b'chol lashon. Comes along Rabbi Shimon Gamliel saying, no, it's only permitted outside of Hebrew. It's only permitted be Yevanis. Fine, so that's the clarification of the Braisa. And then on that, the Braisa continues after clarifying those statements, the Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Af Kishyatira Rabboseinu B'Yevanis. When Rabbi Shimon Gamliel permitted it to be written in Greek, it was only permitted in Lohitira Ela B'Sefer Torah. U'mishim Maisa, the Tami HaMelech. There's a special heter that was used for Sefer Torah that is based on the following story, why the Sefer Torah is allowed to be written in Greek, but outside of that, we don't permit any other languages. So Gemara says, very good. Gemara says, the Sani quotes a Braisa, now Maisa, B'Talmai HaMelech. What was the Maisa? We know this Maisa. Maybe you guys heard this Maisa before, maybe not. Maybe new to you. You'll let us know if this is a new story to you. The Gemara says, it says, Shekines Shivim Ushnaim Zekenim. That Talmai HaMelech, the Greek king, had gathered together the 72 great tzaddikim, great wise men of Amisa. V'chnisen b'shivim yushayim batim. He placed them in 72 different houses or 72 different rooms all by themselves in b'chidus. V'lo gila lehem amakintam. He didn't tell them why. He just summoned them. They had to come to the palace of the king. They each went to a closed room all by themselves. What happened? V'nichnes eto ko'echav yachad. He walked into each room and told them privately that amar lehem, kisvuli toras Moshe Rabchem. I want you to write your Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah. I want you to write it in Greek. So they had to write 72 different Sefer Torah in Greek. Now, what are the possibilities? What are the chances that they're all going to get exactly the same way? Very, very unlikely. However, says the Braisa, Nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Belev Kol Echad V'Echad Eitza. HaKadosh Baruch Hu infused in their minds and their hearts a certain Eitza, and Hiskimu Kulam Ladas Achas, and they all agreed on certain changes the Gemara is going to go through. There are certain concerns if they interpret certain words into Greek, it might insult the king, it might insult the Greeks. So therefore, they all have to change things, and it happens to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a tremendous Yata Deshmaya made sure they all made the same exact changes. So the Gemara is going to go through each one. So again, Hiskimu Kulam Das Achas, V'Kasru Lo, and they made the proper changes. So the Gemara is going to go through one by one. The first change is as follows. It says in the Pasuk that we know Bereishis Bara Elokim, but they change it to interpret it. This is, we're reading Hebrew, but it's the Greek. And Elokim Bara Bereishis, that God created Bereishis. Because if we read it as Bereishis Bara Elokim, it sounds like Bereishis, this being Bereishis, Bara, he created Elokim. So God was created by something called Bereishis, which of course is not true. So they change it to say Elokim, God, Bara Bereishis, he created the beginning. That was change number one. Change number two, it says in the Pasuk, Nase Adam B'Tzalmenu, let's make, Nase means we should make together men. They change it to say, Ese Adam, I will make, in the singular, B'Tzalim Uvedumus. Because if it says, Nase B'Tzalmenu, in our, HaKadosh Baruch was consulting with the Malachim, so it sounds like there were multiple gods, if we will make man. So they change it to Ase, in the singular, that I, Hashem, will make man. That was change number two. Change number three, it says, Vayichal Elokim, Vayichal Elokim, rather. They change it, Vayichal Bayom HaShishi, instead of Vayichal Elokim Bayom HaShvi, Vayishbos Bayom HaShvi. Because if it says, Vayichal Elokim Bayom HaShvi, it sounds like he worked on Shabbos and stopped working on Shabbos. That's not true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped right before the second Shabbos began is when he stopped. He says he knows how to stop. So they change it to, Vayichal Bayom HaShishi, stopped on the sixth day, and then he rested on the seventh day. Next change. Gemara says, Zachar Nekeva Barau, he created them as, Pasuk says Zachar Nekeva Baram, he created them. Sounds like two people created them, so he wrote Zachar Nekeva Barau Velo Kasu Baram, that only one individual, meaning one force that God was creating them, they weren't multiple gods, of course. Fifth change. It says, Hava Erda V'Evla Sham Svasam. The Pasuk says by Migdal Bavel, it says, Hava Nerda, let's go down. Hashem says, let's go down together. That implies there are multiple gods. So they change it to Hava Erda, I will go down by myself. V'Evla Sham Svasam. I'm going to separate the change of languages. Then the pasuk says Vatitzchak Sarah Bikrovah. They change it. Even though the pasuk says Vatitzchak Sarah Bikirba, inside of her it says Vatitzchak Sarah Bikrovah. She was laughing at her relatives. Why? What's the difference here? Because what was the change here?
Favorite, Hashem was being favorite.
Right, he was upset at Sarah, but he wasn't upset at Avram. Right. So if it was Bikirbeh, so fine, but it was out loud, Bikrovel, she was laughing at her relatives out loud, that's a good reason to get upset. So this way they don't think he was taking sides there, they change it to that she was laughing out loud to other people, about other people. Then the Gemara says the seventh change is Ki ba'apam hargu shor uvirtonam ikru avus. So when it came to the brachas that Yaakov gave Shimon and Levi, you know, Shimon and Levi were responsible for destroying which city? Shechem. And the members of Hamor and so on. So the problem is, they says, because you killed man, and he ended up not giving them much of a bracha. So what happened was, they didn't want them to think that Shimon and Levi were murderers. So they changed it, say, no, he killed an ox, and he killed a donkey of some sort. They changed that as well. Then it says, Vayikach Moshe's Ishov as Banavayar Kivem al Nose B'nei Adam. So even though it says that Moshe was really riding on a donkey, a chamor, people of prestige, people of a great stature don't ride donkeys. Donkeys are for people who don't have much money. A sus, a horse, is where Chashev, a Mordechai rider, rode a horse. So they didn't want people to make fun of Moshe Rabbeinu riding a chamor. They changed it that he was just riding on that which people ride. He didn't say a chamor. Okay. So then the ninth change, it says, U'mosha b'nei Yisrael asher yashu b'mitraim u'v'shar otos arba meos shana, that they were in Mitraim for 400 years. Now, even though the pasuk says 430 years, they changed it to 400. Because doing the calculation, 430 doesn't make much sense unless you have some drushas. They want them to make all these stories up with the various calculations, so they did a clean number of 400. The tenth change, it says, Vayishlach es zatute b'nei Yisrael. This is referring to Har Sinai. This was 2 weeks ago. Last week's parsha. Vayishlach es Nari b'nei Yisrael, the pasuk says, he sent Nari b'nei Yisrael, and the Narim, the young boys, brought up karbanos. Now that sounds strange. Why would the Narim bring? They change it to Vayishlach es Zatute b'nei Yisrael. Zatute means the people of great stature were the ones performing the karbanos. That was the change. And they also changed it, Ve'el Zatute b'nei Yisrael lo shalach yado. So they just replaced the word Nar with the word Zatute, referring to more chashuva individuals. We're up to now the 11th change. 11th change of pasuk, they change it to Lo Chemed Echad Mehem Nasasi. That the pasuk says, really, it says Moshe got very upset, and Hashem said to him, "Don't turn to the Minchasam, don't pay attention to their karbanos, and I never took Lo Chamor Mech, I never took a donkey from them, I never took anything from them." So instead of saying Chamor, they didn't take any Chemed, because it sounds like if he took he didn't take a Chamor, but implies he took other things. So therefore, he said he didn't take anything. Chemed didn't take anything he desired. He took nothing from them. The 12th change is Asher Chalak Hashem Lokech Osam Lahayir L'chol Ha'amim. This is referring to the Isser of Odeh Zarah. So it says, lest you start looking up in the Shemaim and you see a sun, a moon, and stars and different things, you start bowing down to them. That which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them amongst all the nations. So it says Tachas Kosha. So 1 second. They add the word lahayir, because without the word lahayir, so it sounds like they actually gave them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them, tachas kol ha'amim for them, l'chol ha'amim for them to worship. They didn't want that to be the case, so he created them lahayir, l'chol ha'amim, with the function of only giving light to the people of the world, but not to give it to them to serve, chas v'shalom. And the 13th change is that Vayelach Vayavod Elo Him Acherim Ashalot Tzivisi Leovdam. He was talking about, this is describing what's going to be in the future, that they're eventually going to go serve other gods. So the change here is they added the word Leovdam. Second here. The other one, why? Kidei shelo yita v'yispor shekamanas hakasas he shelo tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu lishir ba'olam. V'yomer, if it says shelo tziva, it sounds like Hashem didn't command them to be created at all. So then the question is, why are they created then? So it clarifies, Hashem didn't command them to be created to be served. Yes, he created them to be in existence, to have a function in this world, but he didn't create them to be served. So they changed that word la'avdam to qualify that statement of lo'tzivisi. And the 14th and final change is, v'kasvulo, they wrote, when it came to the various animals that are kosher and not kosher, they said the word tsi'iras haraglaim instead of our neves, lokasula our neves, they wrote tsi'iras haraglaim. Why? Bipnei she'ishto, Talma Hamelch's wife's name was our neves, shall Talma our neveshma, shall yomar sachaku bi ayahudim vehitilu shem ishit b'torah. They said, oh, the Jews are making fun of my wife. They're putting her name, Arneves, in the Torah. They didn't want him to, chas v'shalom, think that. So they replaced the word Arneves with the word Tz'iras Raglaim, which is another way of saying a short-legged animal, a reference to a rabbit. Okay, the Gemara now says, we are seven lines down on Tes Amud Beis. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Af b'svarim lo hatiru b'shikhtivu el el Yivanis. He only permitted writing in Greek. So Amar Rabbi Yebohu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Halacha, Ki Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That's how we paskin, that you can write Sefer Torah in Greek. But Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my time with the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, what's the reason? Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, this is a Pasuk in Parshas Noach, describing all the various countries in the world, that says, Yaft Elokim Liyefes, the beauty Hashem gave to Yefes. Yefes is usually understood to be Europe. The Yishkon Baal Shem, and they rested in the camps of Shem. That Shem is eventually the descendant. Avram came from Shem, ultimately all of Klai Yisrael came from Shem. The Varav Shal Yefes, Hu Baal Shem. That the beauty of Yefes, meaning the language, the romantic language of Greek, eventually will be in Ole Shem, will be in the Sifrei Torah that are now Bate Midrash. So that was the Joshua that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel made. The aim, let's say, Gomer Umagog, maybe it should be referring to languages of these. Yefes had many countries. There are many languages that were in Europe, that are in Europe. So why not Gomer Umagog? Why Dafka Greek Yvonis? So Amr Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Hayinu Taima, Dechsevi Yaft Elokim Yefes. Yafiu Social Yefes, the most beautiful, the most romantic language that exists in Europe, which apparently is Yehei Baal Oshem. That's a reference to Greek is considered the beautiful, the most beautiful language. Okay. The new Mishnah tells us now, Ein Bein Kohen Meshuach B'Shemen HaMishcha L'Meruba B'Gadim. So the Kohen Gadol can be appointed one of two ways, either with Shemen HaMishcha. The Shemen HaMishcha, the special oil with all the different spices that were made in the Mishkan, these coming week's partials, that Shemen HaMishcha lasted until Bayis Rishon, and the first Kohen Gadolim in Bayis Rishon were anointed with putting Shemen HaMishcha on their head. After some point during Bayis Rishon, they had to hide the Shemen HaMishcha, and then the only other way a Kohen Gadol can become a Kohen Gadol is by wearing Meruba Begadim. Normally a Kohen Hedo wears only four Begadim. He wears the Mechnasayim, he wears the Avnet, he wears the Ksones, and he wears the Mitznefes, the hat. Those are four Begadim of Kohen Hedo. Kohen Gadol wears an additional four Begadim as well, the Tzit, and the Choshen, and the Ephod. So he has another four begadim, a total of eight begadim. So when a Kohen Hedor is appointed Kohen Gadol, if he doesn't have Shemen HaMishcha to anoint him, he puts on the eight begadim, it's called Meruba Begadim, wearing more clothing than a regular Kohen Hedor, and that now puts him in position as Kohen Gadol. So what is the difference between a Kohen Gadol that was appointed through Shemen HaMishcha and a Kohen Gadol that was appointed through Meruba Begadim? The Mishnah says the only difference is Ella Par Haba Al Kol HaMitzos. There's a halach in the Torah in Parsha Vayikra. If a Kohen Gadol gives a certain hara, he paskins a shayla to do something, and it was actually a certain aver that it shouldn't be done, so he's responsible for giving a incorrect hara. He brings a par, it's a special cow, haba kol hamitzvah. So that's only true of a Kohen Meshuach Mechama, Meshuach Shemen HaMishcha. A Kohen Gadol anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, but if a Kohen Meruba Begadim, he would not be responsible for bringing a par if he made an incorrect hara. So then the Mishnah says, second half of the Mishnah, Ein Bein Kohen Mishamish LaKohen Sha'avar. There's no difference between a Kohen Gadol who's in active duty versus a Kohen Gadol who's already lost his post. The way it works is, let's say Kohen Gadol got a mum, whatever the mum is. So he, Kohen Gadol A, is pushed over to the side. You can't work with a mum. Kohen B is a replacement now. And let's say Kohen Gadol B, so he acts until Kohen Gadol A, mum leaves him. Now, there's some mumim that you can never fix. If a Kohen Gadol loses a leg, you can't fix it. He's a mum forever. But a certain mumim, you can have temporarily. So while he has that mum, a certain blemish, he can't work. But when it leaves, he's able to go back on to working as the Kohen Gadol. So a Kohen Gadol who's working, and a Kohen Gadol who now can't work anymore, what's the difference? The only difference is Ela Par Yom HaKippurim. Ve'asiris ha'efa. On Yom Kippur, there's a special par that only the Kohen Gadol brings. Who brings it? The active Kohen Gadol or the one who's over, the one who lost his position? So only the active Kohen Gadol brings that par. And regarding Asiris ha'efa, every single day, the Kohen Gadol brings an Asiris ha'efa. Asiris ha'efa is an Asiris, is a measurement of efa, of a flour. So he brings it and splits it in half. Half is brought as a mincha in the morning, half in the evening. Only the active Kohen Gadol brings it. Those are the only two differences. Everything else is the same. Meaning, what a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a almana. And no, a Kohen in general, a Kohen Hedyo, cannot marry a grusha. But in addition to that, a Kohen Gadol cannot marry even an almana, a widow. He has to marry a woman who has never been married before. Among other dinim that apply to them also. But those are the only differences. So Gemara now says, in his Medaik, Ha le'inyan par Yom Kippur ve'asir se'efa zev v'zeh shavim. Going back to the Reisha, a Kohen Gadol who was appointed through Shemen HaMishcha versus one appointed through Merubim Megadim, they're both equal in that both parties, both Kohanim Gadolim, regardless of how they were appointed, is going to bring the par Yom Kippurim and also bring the daily asir se'efa. Masnisin, is that your question?
There's a difference?
So that's the second half. That's a sefer. We're going to the Reisha. Okay. The sefer is talking about where two Kohanim Gadolim are at the same time. That's a sefer. Uh-huh. One's active, one's not active. The Reisha is two different time periods. Uh-huh. But one was appointed through Shemen HaMishcha, one was appointed through Merubah Begadim, but they both act in their tekufas with the same exact dinam.
So they didn't have the Shemen HaMishcha.
Exactly. I think the end of Bais Rishon already they had lost it. I think Yoshi HaMelech hit it at some point. I think Rashi quotes this. And then that end of the Bais Rishon through Bais Sheni, we don't have it. We didn't have it. So the Gemara points out, now this Masnisa and this Mishnah is delok Rabbi Meir. It's not like Rabbi Meir. Why? Dear Rabbi Meir, Hatanya, we have a statement that Meruba Begadim is Mevi Par Haba Al Kol HaMitzos, Divrei Rabbi Meir, and Chacham Omrim Eino Mevi. So we see that our Mishnah says that Meruba Begadim doesn't bring Par Haba Al Kol HaMitzos, but Rabbi Meir says he does bring. So clearly our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Meir. My time at the Rabbi Meir, what's his reasoning? The Sani, the Braisa, tells us Mashiach, Ein Li Al Mashiach. The Pasuk by the Par Haba Al Kol HaMitzos says the word Kohen Mashiach. So Ein Li Al Mashiach Mishav HaMishcha. Mashiach means to be anointed. You rub oil on. So I only know that the Kohen Mashiach Shemen HaMishcha, only he has to bring the Par Kol HaMitzos. Meruba Begadim Minayin. How do I know even a Kohen Gadol appointed through Meruba Begadim also has to? Minayin? Tamalomer HaMashiach, the extra hay. So that's the Shita of Rabbi Meir, but that's not in accordance with our Mishnah. So now the Gemara says, B'mayu Kimta Delok Rabbi Meir. How could you suggest that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Meir? Granted, the Reisha doesn't seem to work out for Rabbi Meir, but aim at the Seifa. The Seifa does work very nicely with Rabbi Meir. How so? It says in the Seifa, Ein Bein Kohen Mishamish LeKohen She'avar. The only difference between an active Kohen Gadol versus a Kohen Gadol who's been demoted is El Apar Yom HaKippurim V'Asir Seifa. Those are the only two differences, says the end of the Mishnah. Ha, L'chol Divrem Zev V'Zeh Shavin. Regarding all other halachas, they're exactly the same. So the Gemara says, Asin Rabbi Meir. This must be the position of Rabbi Meir. How so? Disanya. The Braisa teaches us that Irabo Psul, let's say Kohen Gadol A, gets a Psul. And so now, Mina Kohen Acher Tachtav, they appoint a replacement for him. Kohen Gadol B now is active duty. So Rishon, Chozer Lavodasa. So now let's say the Rishon, the initial Kohen Gadol A, the Psul went away. He can now be promoted to active Kohen Gadol. And the Sheni, the temporary replacement now, he is Kol Mitzvos Kuna Gadol Alav, Divrei Rabbi Meir. He is going to carry on all of the halachas of a Kohen Gadol. So we see that they're entirely equal, according to Rabbi Meir. Both the Kohen Gadol that's active and the Kohen Gadol she'avar. It's Rabbi Yossi Omer that the Rishon is Chozer Lavodasa. When the Rishon loses his psul, he goes back to his active duty. And Sheni, the second guy who was the replacement temporarily, Einer Roy Lo Kohen Gadol, Lo Kohen Hedyot. He can't be either one. He can't be the Kohen Gadol because you only have to have one Kohen Gadol at a time. But he can't be demoted to Kohen Hedyot because Malam HaKodesh, Vein Moridim, we can't demote him. So he's stuck in limbo. That's what our Mishnah is referring to here. So the Gemara says, V'amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says there was actually once a Maisa Rabbi Yosef ben Ulam, Mitzipori, he came from that city, She'ira, Mopsul B'Kohen Gadol, that he, the Kohen Gadol at the time, had a Psul. U'minuhu Tachtov, and he was appointed as the replacement. They wanted to know how to paskin. Varmu, they said, the Rishon, when he gets better, he's Chozer Lavodasa. He's promoted to his initial position. He's reinstated. The Sheni, the second Kohen Gadol, who is there temporarily only, Einu roi lo the kohen gadol lo the kohen hedil. Kohen gadol, he can't be the kohen gadol at the same time. Mishum de eva. You can't have animosity. Two people. You can't have two kings. You can't have two rabbis. You can't have two any leaders, because then there's going to be competition. So you have to have one active. The other guy can't work. So mishum eva, because of animosity, because of hatred, he can't be a second active kohen gadol, and he also can't be a kohen hedyot mishum malim bekodesh lo marid. Then once you promote him, unless there's a good reason, you can't demote him. So he's stuck as a in-between kohen gadol, kohen hedyot. So now we see clearly, however, though, the Seifa is like Rabbi Meir, and the Reisha is not like Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, yeah, Reisha Rabbanan. And first they ask, Reisha's Rabbanan, the Seifa Rabbi Meir? You can have the same Mishnah authored by two different people. I'm Rav Chisa in. Yes, I'm very comfortable with saying that. The Reisha was the Rabbanan, and the Seifa was Rabbi Meir. Rav Yosef Amar Rebbe. You know, who authored the Mishnahs, guys? You know, who authored the Mishnahs? Rebbe. Rebbe, right. Rebbe, what's his other name, you know? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, so he authored the Mishnayos, and he would just put things together. So sometimes he's going to pick a position from here, pick a position from there, even though they might be inconsistent. He did that often. So Rav Yosef says, Amar Rebbe, he authored the Mishnah, the Nasiv Alava, Aliba Tatanai, and he quoted opinions that although they're not consistent, that's how he had organized the Mishnayos. Okay, new Mishnah on the bottom here. The Mishnah says, Ein bein bama gadola bama katana el psachim. What happened was, during the 14 years when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, the first 14 years, there were 7 years of conquering, of kibush ha'aretz. Yeshua led Ba'am Yisrael to conquer the nation, to conquer Eretz Yisrael, and to drive out all the seven Shiva Amim and the seven nations living there. And the final 7 years, they divided their land up to different shvatim. They all went around and started to build up Eretz Yisrael. Those are the first 14 years in Eretz Yisrael. During those 14 years, they were allowed to build what's called a bama. Bama is like a barbecue in your backyard. You could build your own personal barbecue, and you could shecht and bring karbanos. So there's a bama katana, which is a small one, which is my backyard. And then there's a bama gadola, which is more of a public mizbeach setting. That was permitted only for 14 years in history. Never again are these allowed. So the Mishnah says, Ein bein bama gadola the bama katana ela psachim. The only difference is psachim. That if I want to bring a karban pesach, I can't bring a karban pesach on my bama katana. It has to go to the bama gadola to bring a carbon pesach. That's the only difference. No, they didn't have a Beis HaMikdash at that point. It took many years until Shlomo Melech, which is many, many generations afterwards, they finally built the Beis HaMikdash. They actually had the Mishkan with them. The Mishkan was with them, and it went to Shiloh, a city called Shiloh, went to Givon, went to Nov, different places for, I think, a few hundred years, until finally the Beis HaMikdash was built at the time to Shlomo Melech, which was eventually called the Beis Olamim, which is an eternal home. It never moved again. While the Mishkan was going from place to place for hundreds of years, the Beis HaMikdash was set in Yerushalayim. So the Mishnah now says further, Zach Cloud, this is the rule. Kol shu nidav v'nidav kare bibama. That which you're able to take a nether on, an endava. The certain karbanos that you could dedicate. If I want to bring an ola is a karban that I bring, that the entire animal is burnt on the mizbech. I can't eat any of it. The coin can't eat out of it. That's an ola. I can make a nether. I want to dedicate an ola. So since I could dedicate an ola, that was permitted on the bama, the Mishnah says. And kol she'ein olo nidar v'lo nidav, that type of carbon which doesn't come from a dedication, ein olkar b'bama, is not brought on a bama. What can come from a nether nidava? I can't dedicate a chatas. If I sin, I owe chatas. But if I want to just dedicate a chatas, it can't create a kata. Chatas directly comes from an avera, not from my dedication. So that which comes as a nether or nidava is brought on the bama. That which does not may not be brought on the bama. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Psachim v'sulo. The psachim is the only thing, the only difference that you're allowed to bring on the bama gedola and not the bama ketana. We have all the time, the Mishnah, look at Rashi to explain the question. Rashi says, psachim v'sulo. V'hakatani seifa. The seifa says, kol she'eno nidav v'nidav eino kar b'bama ketana. V'ilo b'gedola, hayu makrivin karbanos tzibur timidim musafin. V'kasan kadaitich, the havamin here is, the af chovas tzibur, she'ein kavulam zman hayu kraven ba. Kigon parlam davar v'shal tzibur v'sire avodazara. So right now it's unclear exactly what types of karbanos are being brought. So Gemara just wants to clarify it, and says as follows. Ema ke'ein pesachim. Any other carbon like a Pesach. What's a Pesach? A Pesach is a carbon that has kavul lemzman, is a set time. There's a chiv to bring it at a set time. So to any other carbon that has a set time, such as a carbon tamid. Carbon tamid is brought every single day. That's the zman. It's every single day in the morning, every single day in the afternoon. So anything like the psachim, that's a chiv, the kavu zman, that's permitted on the Bama Gadola. And Mani, who authored this? This is Rabbi Shimon. He, the Sanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, af tzibor loy krivu el psachim vechovos shekavu lemzman. So too, on the Bama Gadola, they only brought things like psachim and other karbanos that were chayiv and were kavu lemzman. As opposed to aval chovos, she'ein kavu lemzman, v'hacha v'hacha lokari. But if it was a certain chov that had no set time, such as a chatas, for example, that would not be able to be brought, not on the Bama Katana, nor on the Bama Gadola. Okay, so we'll stop here. I know we did a lot today. And Mirza Hashem, we will continue.